continue on our coverage on a beautiful Monday morning, 3rd of October, the first working day of October, taking over from my colleagues Nina Rosman as well as Najib Arif. We now move on to the UK. This is because the British Finance Minister, Kwasi Kwarteng, will vow today to stay the course with his planned tax cuts, but promised an ironclad commitment to fiscal discipline after a week of market turmoil in response to his growth package. At the start of the governing Conservative Party's annual conference, Kwarteng and Prime Minister Liz Truss has been forced to defend a plan that has failed to spell out the financing for deep tax cuts combined with an expensive package of energy subsidies. That lack of detail roiled markets, with the pound falling to record lows against the dollar and government borrowing costs soaring. On Friday, ratings agency Standard & Poor's, or S&P, cut the outlook on Britain's sovereign credit rating to negative, meaning a downgrade could be on the way. But Truss and Kwarteng have resisted calls to reverse their planned abolition of a top rate of income tax and a cut in the basic rate. Kwarteng has said he will set out his funding plans on November 23rd in a full fiscal statement, and today he will reiterate that his policies will aim to spur growth and will work out to be financially responsible. Still on the UK, British Prime Minister Liz Truss admitted on Friday, yesterday, that her government's recent announcement of a mini-budget caused disruption, but defended the move, saying it will help families facing higher winter bills. She said it was important not to raise taxes for families when global economic forces, such as the war in Ukraine, would impact their winter bills. BOE, or the Bank of England, took emergency action Wednesday to stabilise the UK financial markets and head off a crisis to a broader market economy after the government spooked investors with a programme of unfunded tax cuts, sending the pound tumbling and the cost of government debt soaring. She refused, however, to provide a clear answer as to whether the people receiving the benefits would see them rise in terms of the inflation in order to help them cover the living costs.
As I've said, it was very, very important that we took urgent steps to deal with the costs that families are facing this winter, putting in place the energy price guarantee, for which we've had to borrow to cover the costs of that, but also making sure that we are not raising taxes at a time when there are global economic forces caused by the war in Ukraine that we need to deal with. Of course, you know, we are working closely with the Bank of England. It's very important that monetary and fiscal policy is coordinated, and I recognise there has been disruption, but it was really, really important that we were able to get help to families as soon as possible. That help is coming this weekend, because this is going to be a difficult winter, and I'm determined to do all I can to help families and help the economy at this time.
United Nations inspectors boarded ships anchored off the coast of Istanbul on Saturday to make inspections as part of the Black Sea Grain Initiative, joint coordination efforts managed by the United Nations together with Turkey, Russia and Ukraine. The UN inspector on one of the ships, Averi Nisanka, told the AP, or Associated Press, that inspectors are assigned to ships daily by the Joint Coordination Centre, which has delegations representing the maritime elements of Russia, Turkey, Ukraine and the United Nations themselves. On July 22nd, Russia and Ukraine signed separate agreements with Turkey and the United Nations, clearing the way for the export of desperately needed grain and fertiliser, ending a wartime standoff that threatened food security around the globe. The deal expires in November after 121 days and can be renewed. Inspectors representing all parties at the Bosporus in Turkey have been searching vessels entering and leaving Ukrainian ports to ensure no weapons or soldiers are on board, a clause of the agreement signed heavily insisted on by Russia. Under the deal, all activities in Ukrainian territorial waters will be under the authority and responsibility of Ukraine, and the parties agree not to attack vessels and port facilities involved in the initiative. European Union energy ministers on Friday adopted a package of measures to soothe the energy crisis, including a windfall levy on profits by fossil fuel companies, but a deal on capping gas prices remained off. the table. With energy prices skyrocketing across Europe and the Russian invasion of Ukraine, EU member countries reached a deal on proposals from the European Commission that the bloc's executive arm said could help raise $140 billion to help people and businesses hit by the crunch. The measures include a levy on surplus profits made by companies producing or refining oil, gas and coal. The two other main elements of the plan are a temporary cap on the revenues of low-cost electricity generators such as wind, solar and nuclear companies, as well as an obligation for the 27 EU countries to reduce electricity consumption by at least 5% during peak price hours. The tax should be adopted next week and enter into force the week after. The measures will not have an immediate impact or effect on the gas prices that have been running wild as Russia reduced its supplies.
The mandatory electricity demand reduction. The member states need to identify 10% of peak hours and reduce it by 5%. This will allow to lower consumption of the most expensive energy source, which is currently gas. Second, the cap on market revenues from inframarginal electricity producers. There are several energy sources with low production costs benefiting from the high gas prices. We agree to cap these profits mostly from renewables, lignite and nuclear energy on €180 per megawatt hour. The member states will be able to use this surplus revenues and to distribute it to the households and small and medium enterprises which are severely hit.
I am very glad to see that all measures remain mandatory, which ensures that they will also remain impactful. It is now crucial to implement these steps quickly so that they can start having the intended effect.
Azerbaijan's President Ilhan Aliyev said on Friday that a new gas pipeline between Azerbaijan and Bulgaria would ensure security for energy for Europe amid the fallout from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Speaking at a news conference in Sofia after talks with his Bulgarian counterpart, Rumen Radev, Aliyev called a new gas interconnector with Greece a historic achievement and an opportunity for Azeri gas to reach Europe in larger quantities. The 182-kilometre pipeline will run from the northeastern Greek city of Komotini to Stara Zagora in central Bulgaria. The importance of the pipeline, which has been called a crucial south-north energy bridge, has significantly risen after Moscow decided to turn its natural gas deliveries into a political weapon. In late April, Russia cut off gas supplies to Bulgaria after it refused a demand by Moscow to pay gas bills in rubles, Russia's currency. Relations between the two former Soviet bloc allies have tanked in recent months, and last month Bulgaria ordered the expulsion of 70 Russian diplomats, triggering an angry response from Moscow. We now move on to the local bourse. After a tumultuous week of sideways trading, Bursa Malaysia, as at 9:52 a.m. on 3rd of October, is looking a rather downer for a big reason. It has dropped below the psychological level of 1,400 points. This morning, it's down 7 points or 0.5% to 1,387. Very low trading because after 52 or 53 minutes of trading, we're looking at just a touch above 400 million shares done, valued at 222 million ringgit. Losers outweigh gainers. Losers are at 402 counters, while gainers are looking at 147 counters. And mostly, we're talking about some of the key aspects of the local market being a little bit sluggish. Now, CGS-CIMB has published a statement saying that they expect budget 2023 to be neutral for the KLCI, and potential beneficiaries could be consumer, construction, property and tourism-related sectors. And in the past 13 years, KLCI posted returns of 0.5% 1 week before budget tabling. However, CGS-CIMB found that the pre-budget rally typically does not last. In the past 13 years, the probability of KLCI delivering positive returns 1 day and 1 week post-budget tabling was between 38 to 46% versus 69 to 85% pre-budget. Now, we move on to some international global economic news. Very quickly, just to give you a quick rundown of the things that is going to shape up this week. Japan spent up to a record of 2.8 trillion yen, or about 89 billion ringgit, intervening in the foreign exchange market last week to prop up the yen, data from the finance ministry data showed. This is draining nearly 15% of funds it has readily available for intervention. Meanwhile, oil prices dipped on Friday in choppy trading but notched their first weekly gain in 5 weeks, underpinning by the possibility that the OPEC Plus will agree to cut crude output when it meets this week on 5th October on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the United States has not yet seen Russia take any action that suggests it is contemplating the use of nuclear weapons amid its invasion of Ukraine. Anthony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, said on Friday, despite what he called a quote-unquote loose talk by Russian President Vladimir Putin about their possible of use of that particular item. Speaking of which, Putin on Friday blamed the U.S. and its allies for blowing up the undersea Nord Stream pipelines, raising the temperature in a crisis that has left Europe racing to secure its energy infrastructure and supplies. In a speech to mark the annexation of four Ukrainian regions invaded by Russian forces, Putin offered no evidence for the claim. Now, Russia has previously said that the US would profit from the attacks on Europe's energy infrastructure. Meanwhile, former US President Donald Trump's administration has not turned over all presidential records, and the National Archives will consult with the Justice Department on whether to move to get them back. The agency has told Congress a congressional panel on 13 September sought an urgent review by the National Archives and Records Administration after agency staff members acknowledged that they did not know if all of the presidential records from Trump's White House has been turned over. A little bit on some vaccine news. An mRNA COVID-19 vaccine developed by China's Walvax Biotechnology will be produced in Indonesia. This is coming in from the Food and Drugs Agency of Indonesia, BPOM, said on Friday, after the country granted emergency use authorization for the vaccine. The vaccine has an efficacy rate of 71.17% against the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Again, data from BPOM. Meanwhile, Singapore-based mobile app developer Asia Innovations, ASIC, said on Friday that it would go public through a merger with a blank check firm in a deal that values the combined entity at $2.5 billion. Now, we can move to some corporate news. And of course, with corporate news, a lot is going to be said about this week, considering that this week is going to be budget week. But one item that we need to look forward to is in terms of the impact towards some of the large corporates in Malaysia. PNB, for instance, has announced a record low income distribution of 3.75 sen per unit for its fixed price unit trust fund, Amanah Saham Malaysia 3. Now, this compares with the 4 sen distribution of ASM 3 previously. Meanwhile, the upcoming budget 2023, again, is likely to be expensive, but it should not be overly so due to fiscal limitations. This is according to World Bank's lead economist. And of course, a lot will be said about that as well. We'll be covering the budget 2023 in extensive detail. Continue to stay with us. My colleagues, Najib Arof and Haris Ashraf Hasnan, is going to be covering this at length here on Astro Awani throughout the day on the 7th of October. That's when the budget is going to take place. Again, mark your calendar, 7th of October. So do stay with us until then. Thank you very much. My name is Ibrahim Sani. I do wish you a fantastic week ahead and happy Monday.